这都挺人挺好吃。
Something is better than nothing.
Always.
He told me when he would speak and think he didn't give his all or his best, he'd go, something is better. But I thought when
I... That's how I live, man.
Well, I thought, if ever something is better than nothing applied to anything, when you apply it to Krishna consciousness,It realizes what it was, you know, like, something of this is infinitely better than nothing of it. Right. Pardon me?
Water.
Oh, okay. We can start speaking? Actually, Srila Gurudev,Prabhupada had this pranam mantra, everyone knows, but Gurumar said that really, ideally, and ideals, a qualified disciple composes a pranam mantra. So that means they should know Sanskrit, the qualities of the guru, so many things. And Prabhupada didn't have any.When he came initially, so he gave them the generic mantra with his name. And, but later, Srila Govinda Maharaj, he modified that to become proper and actually increase the beauty of it by including Prabhupada. And he wrote, Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale.Swami Sri Bhaktivedanta Prabhupadaya Te Namaha. And then he wrote three more. Gur Bhagyam Shirashi Darjam Shaktavesha Swarupine Hare Krishna Trimantrena Paschatya Prachyatarine. And that we can begin here because he said, Gur Bhagyam Shirashi Darjam, taking the order of his guru on his head.When Srila Prabhupada, you see here, this is his actual room. Maybe a little bit modified, but not much. This is where he came. And like you see Prabhupada there at the table writing, maybe if you saw him at that time, you might have seen him go to the market, buy some cauliflower, some pickit's not like he has, you know, a billboard like they have now saying Shaktivesh Avatar. You know. He would look like so many sadhus we may see. So that's not how you judge a sadhu, is by what you see with your naked eye. So Prabhupada, his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, since the first meeting,like 1920s, later initiated, and 22 he met, 33 he got initiated, 44 he established the Back to Godhead magazine, 55 Vanaprastha, then Sannyas, came here, 66 goes to America, 77 left the world. But when Prabhupada's here,As Guru Maharaj writes in the pranam, you know, Vilasatu Hridi Nityam Bhakti Siddhanta Vani, the divine instructions of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they're playing in his heart. Prabhupada said that when he was working on Bhagavad Gita and reading, studying, Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, and glossing the verse, Vyavasayatmika Budhi Ekeha Kurunandana,which Prabhupada rendered as the resolute determination necessary to execute Krishna consciousness, make progress in Krishna consciousness. But he says, when reading that, and Vishwanath's explanation, he had an epiphany, because there Vishwanath says that the order of the guru should become identical with one's reason for existing.I mean, this is quite an interpretation. Because it's one thing to say, resolute, determined, you know, probably saying, no. What Vishwanath is saying your life should become in sync, and the only, you know, what the French say, raison d'être, reason for being, is to execute the order of Guru. And also, I should say, it's easy for me to say this. I'm not implying anything. I'm just telling Prabhupada's story. He lives, he personifies that. We can glorify him by talking about it. But to be like that is almost inconceivable to us. When we think, the order of Sri Guru, we think, oh, Saraswati Thakur, yes. But who is the ultimate guru? Is Srimati Radharani. And sometimes Guru Maharaj says in a very charming, delightful way, we should accept Radharani's suggestion. He didn't say like her order, her demand, her, no. He said, we should accept her suggestion. And plainly, she knows how to please Krishna. If it's her suggestion, you can go with that. You know, you don't have to, no. It comes from her, give your life to that, everything's perfect. And so, he's here, and the order of Saraswati Thakur is playing in his heart always about preaching Krishna consciousness in the Western world, English in particularly. And as I mentioned yesterday, when I was at ISKCON Press, before BBT, and we had this archive and had Prabhupada's papers from India. And you could see there, first six chapters of Chaitanya Charitamritam, some Bhagavat manuscripts, other things, and it's on big legal size paper. And we thought anything, you know, from Prabhupada, we have to take it seriously. Like, so turn the page over, and it has all this like mundane accounting business information. I'm trying to understand it. You know, like Sukadeva was speaking, and now this. But what I found out later, Prabhupada had no money. We know when he came here, he said, all that's left of my family life is a long list of names. He said, now that I have no money, none of my relatives are interested in me anymore. And he wrote Guru Maharaj a postcard saying, he said, I am totally disgusted with human civilization. The animals, I think, are more friendly to me. So he's feeling some camaraderie with the birds and the animals, but not with human beings. Although he's going to save them. So anyway, the reason that paper was like that is Prabhupada had no money, so he, in India, they don't throw anything away. He went to the place, you can buy used paper. So it's already been typed on, it's cheaper than buying like new paper. He takes that paper, turns it around, puts in the typewriter, and that's why the Bhagavatam's written on the back of like super mundane business documents. That show, and it shows something of his resolve. He's here in this little room in Vrindavan with Radha Damodar deities, Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Krishna Skaran. But he's thinking 24/7 how to fulfill the order of Srila Saraswati Thakur. Some people think Prabhupada started preaching in 1965 or 66. He's always preaching, even when he was a Grihastha. He's preaching. When he's here, Janmashtami comes, he's sending out flyers. He's got a little program going on. It's not that his preaching started when he went to America. He's preaching every day of his life and to the people he meets. But then we know he wants to get the, he has no money, but he has some connections and the Sukriti of the Indian people. He approaches one rich Indian woman who owns a steamship company for cargo, and asked her for free passage. I mean, it's a cargo ship, but they have like six rooms on there. You know, you can travel. And actually, it's nothing for her to do that, but she keeps saying no because she thinks, what if he dies on the, it's 30 days in the ocean. Then I'll have the death of a sadhu on my hands. So she's always refusing. Somehow Krishna gives her the inspiration to agree. And we've seen Prabhupada in his trunks, he has like one trunk full of the so-called brown Bhagavatams, full of Srimad Bhagavatams. Other trunk like mridangas, kartals, you know, devotional paraphernalia, his cooker, his famous tiffin cooker. And with that, he begins his journey. Right? And Prabhupada always kept a notebook of everything. Like, in his daily life, if he spends, you know, 50 paisa on something, he has a note, 50 paisa on stamps. You know, like, that's how he is. He does that for everything. So he's got this little notebook, and on the boat, they give you a diary that, like, you can, you know, keep a diary of your journey. So he is writing for, like, we're leaving the port now, we just got to South India, and his grocery list, what he bought when they got off the ship, and now they head out in the ocean. And then he writes every now and then something very significant. And he said, he's also wondering, like, what he's doing. And he said, now he's out in the middle of the ocean. And that's the thing. My guru gave me this order. I left Vrindavan. I was at the Radha Damodar temple. I was very happy there. Now I'm in the middle of the ocean with a trunk load of Bhagavatams on my way to America. He said, I'm feeling so much separation from my lords, Radha Damodar, Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Govinda. He started naming the deities of the Goswamis. And he said, I'm feeling intense separation from them now. And then he says, daily I am relishing the nectarine of Sri Chaitanya Leela, which is the source of my all vitality. So even on that, he's reading Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he's saying, this is what's keeping me alive and vital. And there's so much nectar. When he reads Charitamrita, then he's in the nectar zone. So Prabhupada's going on the ship. Then you see in the diary, like, one page, another day, like a gash down each page. And we know what happened is he had a heart attack, maybe two. So then, and one has to think, like, Krishna. Why does Krishna do these things? You think, here's this person. He's at the end of his life. Like, isn't it enough that he's risking everything, getting on the boat and accepting all the hardship? What does Krishna do? Heart attack. So in other words, he's being pushed to the limit and beyond the limit of what is tolerable, anticipated, acceptable. Because Krishna's Bhava Grahi Janardhan, he only knows, when you're in the greatest distress, the greatest adversity, then the heart produces the most superior type of love and affection. And that's what Krishna's addicted to. And he's always putting the devotees into these extreme circumstances to get at that sweetest region of heart, which is located very deep and only comes out under the greatest adversity and the greatest type of separation. So Prabhupada, you see, after this happens, then the next normal day he says, today everything's okay, you know. And he makes some Bengali comfort food, this little potato, cubed potatoes called bati chachari. Means you cook the in the bati, the bowl, instead of in a pan, and you have to get it all right from the beginning. It's one of the few things where you add salt in the beginning. Try and get some if you can. Anyway, that's his Bengali comfort food. And then we hear in the captain's log, the captain also gives the log, he's saying, it's so strange, the ocean today looks like a pond. We're in the middle of the ocean. There are no waves. It's just the water's placid. It's just flat. So that's the first hint of something miraculous going on. And Prabhupada has a dream where Krishna said, remember his name before was Abhay, which means fearless. Abhay Charanaravinda. And Krishna says, Abhay, don't worry. So he's taken over the ship. It's going very smoothly. Prabhupada's recovering. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj, now it's commonly accepted. But we have to say, this is a revelation from Srila Guru Maharaj, because people think, like, well, how much do you... Prabhupada's disciples say, well, we love Prabhupada and have the greatest insight into Prabhupada. And that's true. But how much love and affection Srila Sridhar Maharaj and Prabhupada have for each other and Srila Govinda Maharaj is beyond what we can properly fathom, conceive. It was Srila Sridhar Maharaj who revealed that Srila Prabhupada is a Shaktivesh avatar. And even identified this point. He's saying, this is Prabhupada on the ultimate altar of self-sacrifice. You can't go anymore. He's having a death. He's on the verge of death with the heart attack. He's ready to go in the middle of the ocean, hopeless, helpless. How much more dramatic could the event be? And he's saying, and still he's offering himself. He's undeterred by all of this. And Guru said, wholly emptied himself of any other consideration than the order of Sri Guru, Srila Saraswati Thakur, and by extension, Srimati Radharani. So, wholly empty. Then what? Divine power came down and worked on his behalf. That's Shaktivesh. So he's saying, at that point, so when Prabhupada reaches the shore of America, before he even gets off the boat, because actually arrives in Boston, stays a few days, then goes to New York, he composes two poems. And one of the poems, Markine Bhagavata Dharma, is more what you would expect. It's like a preaching poem, quoting some of his favorite verses from the Bhagavatam. The Tada Rajastamo Baba Kamaloba Stayasmi, where Prabhupada said, the population is overwhelmed by the modes of passion and ignorance. He's like describing the situation. Later with Risha Kapi Prabhu and Sureshri in D.C. on 1976, Prabhupada was there, and we're reading these things to him, and Prabhupada said, he's smiling to hear it, and he said, how could I know? I hadn't got off the boat. Which shows he also had a sense of humor. So he's like perfectly describing what America is. He said, but I hadn't got off the boat. How could I know that? I think it's called Sarvagya. But anyway, so he's saying there, describing different things, quoting the Bhagavatam, what is his mission, and in the end, he's saying to Krishna, you must have brought me here for a reason, like to this horrible place. He's not impressed. He's saying, you must have brought me here for a reason, and if you brought me here to dance, he's saying, then make me dance, oh Lord, make me dance. And it's signed, your insignificant beggar, Bhaktivedanta, like that. That's the position of the, he's saying, use me. Like Ramananda says to Mahaprabhu, I am an instrument and you're playing me. You're praising all these things that are coming out. That's the position of the devotee. So Prabhupada offering himself to be used like that. Then, the other poem called Prayer to the Lotus Feet of Krishna is more revealing on an internal level, where he's saying, he says, I was feeling much separation. It's a prayer to Krishna, and I was feeling very intense separation from you today, so I cried out to you. I called you, you know, that means with deep love and affection, feeling so, I called to you. And what am I thinking about? I can't wait to return in those days when you and I will be sharing lunch together on the banks of the Jamuna, running, frolicking, playing in the forest of Vrindavan. I mean, he actually says these things. He said, but until that time, I have some service that I've been given. Now, as we told, in Gaudiya conception, Guru is seen as Radharani's delegation. So Guru Maharaj interpreted this, and what he's saying is to Krishna that Radharani has given me some service to do. I feel myself incapable, unqualified to do that. But you are the most qualified of all. If you will assist me and help me do this service to Radharani, then she'll be pleased with you and you will get her association. So it's like Prabhupada made Krishna an offer he couldn't refuse. Like Krishna, how sweet is that? He's enlisting, who would think of that? The genius of this. Like, he's enlisting Krishna, like, I'm not qualified, but you are, and I know you can do a lot since you're Krishna. So, and if you help me do this, it's an order of Radharani, then you'll get her association, and I know you want that. So in this way, sweetly, cleverly captured Krishna to do that. And then, as we know, in brief, just say that Prabhupada, and it didn't come easy. He was in America for 1 year, distributing the books in the bookstore, doing a little kirtan, a little pro lecture here and there. No one came forward, nothing substantial was happening. So after 1 year, Prabhupada thought, I gave it my best, I tried, you know, the will of Krishna. He goes back to the steamship company, and they have a chalkboard, and it says, when the next boat's going to India. He's going to return to India. He's finished with America. And while there, he's coming back, and one person, Dr. Howard Wheeler, a English professor, later becomes Hayagriva, he sees him and says to him, like, are you coming from India? And am I coming from India? I just came from Goloka Vrindavan. What to speak of India? So then they meet, that person is an English professor, he later edits all of Prabhupada's books, and the rest, as they say, is history. Then more and more, he knows many people, Allen Ginsberg and others, he brings them all to Prabhupada, devotees come, they join, and it goes on and on. Inevitably, we know millions and millions of books are distributed all over the world. So once, Srila Sridhar said, talking about Prahlad Maharaj and all, he had to suffer to be, he said, what did we learn from Prahlad Maharaj? Many things, but he said one thing, and a little joking, but he said, if you pursue Krishna consciousness, prepare yourself for a life of trouble. Like, your father will turn against you, your family, like, this is what it means, you know. Like, and Guru Maharaj said, and don't expect that just because you decided to become a devotee, they're going to have a parade in your honor. You know, like, oh, did you hear so-and-so's pursuing Krishna? Well, we should have a parade, some kind of a party, and celebrate that. They're not, Guru Maharaj said, they're not going to do that. But there are always exceptions to every rule. So think about it. Prabhupada, he goes to America, he has like $10 in cash, and the Bhagavatam's Mridanga Kartal, and Maha Mantra. And he said, when he is chanting, he said, it's not like if no one comes, I don't do this. I do it whether anybody comes or not. This is what I do. I chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. I read the Bhagavatam Charita. This is what I do on a daily basis. If people come, that's very good. But if they don't come, I'm still doing it. Because sometimes people are like, oh, no one came to the program. It doesn't matter. We do this program alone or with others. We like to do it in a group. So he comes that way. And they always talk about the American dream or the Hollywood story, the like Americans. And what is that dream and story. It means someone with nothing from another country comes to America and they end up with everything. I mean, to put it in a nutshell. And Prabhupada is that ad infinitum. So he comes there, a pauper, in his own words, and then starts. Then, and this is what I want to conclude with, in 1976, he is in New York City, and there's going to be this Rath Yatra festival, which is even his childhood pastime, organizing, not just participating, organizing Rath Yatra. So I was there in New York, you may have been, and Prabhupada, all the newspaper people come, and the reporters, and they're sitting there with the notebooks and everything. And Prabhupada's also the greatest PR man for the Krishna consciousness movement. He knows how to like sell a story, you know, and give them talking points. And at the time, Prabhupada said, America is the most important country in the world. And they're all American. They go, yeah, they write it down. And he said, New York is the most important city in America. They're all New Yorkers. They go, yeah, of course. He said, in New York, Fifth Avenue is the most important street. And I went, yeah, and Prabhupada said, on that street we are having our festival. And that's the all right in the paper. Oh, America, most important country, most important city, most important street. And that they could, like, have all, New York's finest means they're policemen, that's what they call it. They're all along Fifth Avenue. It's impossible to think you can shut down Fifth Avenue. What to speak of for a parade, Hare Krishna parade and Jagannath. And Prabhupada liked to ride on Subhadra's chariot. And then we saw, this was amazing. And I really, miraculous, and I really believe in my heart, this was Krishna's gift to Prabhupada. Prabhupada thinks he's glorifying Jagannath and Krishna, and he is. But Krishna wants to glorify the devotee. This tension is always there. The devotee wanting to glorify Krishna, Krishna wanting to glorify, and then so many pastimes come out of that. So Prabhupada, who came with nothing, he's riding on this chariot in Fifth Avenue in New York, the most important city, most important street in the most important city, most important country in the world. He's riding down there like a triumphant, a victor, like he came, he saw, he conquered America with Krishna consciousness. And Krishna did that for him. And it was a year later that he left the world. And the only other thing I want to say is that there's a famous verse in the Mahabharata and the Vishnu Sahasranam, which is, it's mysterious, it's encrypted, because Gopinatha Charja quotes this, the Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, to say, like, you don't understand who Mahaprabhu is. Suvarna Varna He Mango, Baranga Standanagadi, Sanyasa Krishtama Shanto, Nitya Shanti Parayana. He's the Chanav, he's hidden. Don't you know him? And he's pointing, and Bhagavatam here, there. And he quotes this verse from Mahabharata, which can be interpreted to indicate Mahaprabhu. But interestingly, it can also be interpreted to indicate Srila Prabhupada. Because Suvarna Varna, that means like who's gold, means golden colored, one interpretation. But it also means a particular caste. And Prabhupada's caste that he descended in, the Day Malik family, they're Suvarnavanik, means they're gold merchants. And we're told this family was particularly favored by the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. It goes way back. He loved this family. And so once, and I was with another devotee, we're searching some painting of Nityananda Prabhu, and we went to this place. And it's the people who initiated Prabhupada when he was like a teenager. And they're Nityananda Bangsha. And it's just funny, and shows you how you can have different perspective. They think because they initiated him and he's connected with them, that's why he was successful around the world. And you just have to smile, you know, like, yes, of course. Why didn't I think of that? But that line, they're favored by Nityananda Prabhu, and Guru Maharaj said of Prabhupada Shaktivesh empowerment that Nityananda Prabhu descending and working on his behalf. And Prabhupada everywhere, you see Gaur Nitai, establishing Gaur Nitai deities all over the world. And what does he do in Vrindavan? Central altar is Krishna and Balaram. Radha and Shyamasundara, they're on the side. And on the other side, Jagannath, or anyway, central altar is Krishna and Balaram. So, Suvarna Varna Hemango, and if you saw Prabhupada, Barangas Chandanagadi, so because there's a lot going on inside, his head would overheat, his body would heat, and the devotees have to cover him with chandan, and you see many pictures of Prabhupada with sandalwood all over his forehead, like not just a little bit, a lot. All over here, all down the sides, he's putting it on his body to like, he once said in a lecture, he said, it keeps you cool, calm the whole day. It's, you know, but like that fire going on inside, like Mahaprabhu, they have to reduce the temperature. So it says, Barangas Chandanagadi, so he's descending the Subarnavarna line. He's always covered in chandan and his mustard oil bath every day. Sometimes you see Prabhupada in a particular light, it looked like his skin was golden or translucent. Like it was very, astonishing to look at him closely. These are my personal observations and shared by many devotees. Vinyasi Maharaj, one of Prabhupada's dear disciples, he knows all these things. So that, and then Sannyasa Krit Chamakshanto, and that how he will take sannyas to liberate everyone, which is what Prabhupada did. Then it says Nishta Shanti Parayanaha, which is mysterious. And I go back, that's Cindy's steamship, little diary book he's keeping on the board. Here's something in it. What is the name of the boat that carries him? It's Jaladuta, which means water messenger, right? Water messenger. On the little diary, the running heads atop each page, it says, we carry India's message of peace and goodwill. Nista Shanti Parayana. They're saying, that's what we carry. That's why this company was formed. And so it says it, right? And who are they carrying? They're carrying Prabhupada. He's the one who's, what is it? It's not just about generic peace and goodwill. Once we're in a park in Delhi, some men are going by and Prabhupada's not particularly talkative that day. And he says, oh, I know that man. And then they like walked away and then I thought, oh, it seemed like Prabhupada wanted to talk to them. So I excused myself and I went over. And then I talked to them and I said, my Guru Maharaj says he knows you. And they said, well, one man said, I saw him at the Delhi Pando. I said, oh, maybe you're the first. And the other man said, no, he bought paper from me. That means he bought the paper for the Srimad Bhagavatams. And so I came back and Prabhupada's sitting there. And I gave him and I looked at him and he's like, look at, and I said, one man said he met you at the Delhi Pando. That is not the man. So he's like, I said, well, the other man said he sold you paper for printing. And Prabhupada said, yes, that is the man. But then he went back to being very quiet again and not talking. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then I said, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada? And he looked up and he looked at me like, this better be good. You know, like he was in a particular mood that day. And I said, those men, they also asked me why I came to India. And Prabhupada was like looking, yeah. And I said, they asked me if I came to India to get peace of mind. And now like Prabhupada was saying, yeah. And I said, At that time, he was doing seventh canto Prahlad Maharaj. I said, but you're telling us every day, how Prahlad said, I can take Hare Krishna Ma mantra. I have peace of mind. I don't have any problem. But we're concerned about others. I said, so I told him, I said, the reason I've come to India is to give you peace of mind. And they all went, oh, Baba. You know, like, they like that. And Prabhupada said, you said that? And I went, oh my God, like now he's angry. Like I insulted the people or something. I went, yeah, I said, you said that? And I said, like, so, yes, I said that, Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada said, this is preaching. This is Krishna. I went, oh. And then it went like, and the devotees were going like, they're going, Prabhupada gave you some mercy today. And I was like, yes. So that's what he did. Prabhupada's, why he left here was to give Krishna consciousness to others. And he did that freely. And the only thing he asks from us is to do the same. And for him, every man, woman, and child of the Krishna consciousness movement is a preacher. It's not like, yeah, we have designated preachers, sannyasis, some Brahmin, but from Prabhupada's point of view, everybody is a preacher. And he gave his life to spread Krishna consciousness to others. Srila Govinda Maharaj would say years later, because so many devotees are coming or connection with Prabhupada previously, he said, it's like 30 years later, we're still taking Swami Maharaj's prasad. Because he's saying, like, where's everybody coming from? So he did that. Guru Maharaj had the greatest appreciation for him. He used to say, you know, we are happy, we are proud, like with such joy that he relished what Prabhupada did around the world and all that. So I just extend the same thing to you all, that we show our appreciation by being faithful and also extending Krishna consciousness to others. Jai. Shri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahanda Pari Brajaka Chara Dasa Tarasada Shri Shri Maj. Shri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Shri Radha Damodar Ki Jai. Jai Shri Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Shri Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Bhagavan Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Saraswati Mat Ki Jai. Sanyasi Brinda Ki Jai. Seva Brinda Ki Jai. Shri Bhakti Digrahan Nashi Maharaj Ki Jai. Nitai Go Premanande. I took up all the time, Maharaj. But
can I say something?
Yes, please.
I just want to say one short thing.
Because Maharaj, he's the senior Prabhupada disciple.
I've had some experience just here in Vrindavan in the past few days in the place of Srila Govinda Maharaj's temple in Vrindavan, that how merciful is Srila Prabhupada, that he has come to not just an ordinary nice place, but a very, very, like, degraded place, a really low place, a really filthy place, like going into a garbage bin for someone of that caliber. Prabhupada has done this. He's come into a terrible place, given himself fully, taken us in, covered with garbage, and embraced us. What kind of mercy is that? And everyone who's come in contact with Krishna consciousness from the West has a debt to him. Always there, but always we have to remember that somehow or other, by his grace, we are coming here to this place to see Srila Prabhupada himself, to see Radha Damodar, to see our beautiful deities, and to engage in service in Vrindavan. It's all because of Srila Prabhupada's grace.
Yeah.
Jai.
Hare Krishna.
Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Jai. Hare Krishna. It's a fact. If Prabhupada didn't make that decision, we wouldn't be here. We would have never known also who is Srila Sridhar Maharaj, who is Srila Govinda Maharaj. So everyone has a debt. You know what I mean? Think sometimes, if you look, all, you know, these varied missions there are, without mentioning all the names.
Yeah, yeah.
To this day, they're all
led by Prabhupada disciples.
Right.
Our mission and all the other ones.
Right.
Good or bad. It's all Prabhupada disciples.
Yeah, he infused everything.